You're listening to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Hi everyone, Paul here, and just a quick message from me to let you know that if you are looking to improve the performance of your team, no matter whether it is a work, sporting or community one, then we've developed some tools to help. On the website, you will find our Thriving Teams Diagnostic, which uses insights from the more than 200 great coaches we have interviewed to challenge you with a series of questions to help you understand how your team is performing. It's free and only takes a few minutes to complete. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, thegreatcoachespodcast.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Lessons from the Great Coaches podcast.
I've learned that you don't do it alone.
You learn so many different things from so many different coaches.
That's an elite learning environment.
Failure is not a problem. How you deal with it is a problem.
How to be resilient.
How important it is to infuse joy in the process of learning.
To be a good coach, you've got to give more than you take.
What an interesting life it is to be a leader.
Hello and welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast, where we believe that there is no algorithm for leadership, and so we interview great sports coaches from around the world to try and find ideas to help all of us be better leaders. Our great coach on this episode is rugby's Damien McGrath. Damien started life as a teacher, but then in his words, took a gamble and moved into professional coaching. He has now coached teams across multiple countries in both rugby league and rugby union, as well as rugby sevens. And he has just released a new book titled, Can You Be Fluent in Success? And in this interview, he talks about the book as well as some of the other experiences he has had as he has traveled the world as a coach. Some of the key highlights for me were how he uses the play by Thomas Moore, A Man for All Seasons, to describe the roles a coach must play. The story he shares about the bass player Herbie Flowers, who played the famous riff on Lou Reed's song, Walk on the Wild Side, to illustrate how coaches try and get the most from the options available to them. And the idea of a mental highlights reel and how he has used it during his career to fortify his confidence. And just before we go to the interview, today's podcast is brought to you by the Macquarie University Business School's MBA program. Designed to empower, challenge, and transform, the Macquarie MBA gives you the business skills and knowledge you need to succeed in an evolving global economy. The program bridges the gap between theory and real-world application, bringing together world-leading professors, executives, and industry partners to teach you how business can be used for good. I have just started working with the team at Macquarie on some projects and can attest to the quality of the people and material. To find out more, search for Macquarie University Business School's MBA. And now, please enjoy our interview with Damien McGrath.
You're listening to the Lessons from the Great Coaches Podcast.
Damien McGrath, welcome back to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to come back.
Pleasure's all mine, actually. I can't wait to talk to you again. You've written a book. It's a new book, the third that you've written. It's called Can You Be Fluent in Success? But before I ask you about it, I need to start with,
Damien, where are you in the world and what have you been up to so far today?
I'm back in the UK. Written the book, as you said, and I'm looking to, well, I was hoping I could retire, but I think similar circumstances to you, my wife's, demanding that I get out there and do something. And so I'm hoping to, if not coach again, then, you know, get out there and talk about leadership and coaching and maybe, you know, help other coaches, other businesses, just on my observations on leadership and coaching across the last 40 years.
Well, I can't wait to get into those observations because a lot of them are in the book, but yeah. I guess let's start with why. What was the impetus to put it together?
Well, it was a throwaway comment several years ago. I came home one Christmas time and as I always do, I got together with my old school friends that we've always stayed together. And one of them said to me, given that you've lived and worked around the world for so long, your language skills must be way better now than they were. And I had to shamelessly admit that, you know, I still struggle with English and I couldn't speak a word of anything. And he said, well, at least you can say you're fluent in success. And we all laughed. It was a throwaway line. But I thought, what a great line. And can you be such a thing? Can you take the same principles and approach to different cultures, different countries? And, you know, what are the things that stay the same? What are the things that you have to do that are different? That got me thinking and got me jotting down my thoughts on all the things that have happened and really having a look at how my approach, you know, to coaching and leading in different countries has evolved.
Well, it's not just different countries, right? It's different continents.
Absolutely.
you've covered off Asia, you've covered off Africa and Europe. You've done really well. But the book it talks a lot about leadership and it also talks a lot about coaching, but it also talks a lot about people and how to get the most out of working with people. But without spoiling the book for everyone, Damien, I'm wondering if you could just take us through some of the key leadership traits that you've identified that make it possible to be fluent in success.
Yeah, it's amazing you should say that because the more I wrote and then scrapped the paper and threw it away several times, and I thought it really is all about people. It's, the memories I had were all people driven. Not you'd think it'd be any successes, any medals, any trophies, anything that you won or where things went well, but it was all about people. Every time I started writing something, it was the memories of people, what they said, what they'd done, how they made other people feel, that got me going. And then I tried to get the book started. I tried to catch what did I think a real leader, one of the, you know, the best of people, a top level coach. What did they need to be? And I came up with the phrase "Man for All Seasons," which is the title of a famous play about St. Thomas More, one of the great English figures of history, who stood by his principles and was beheaded by Henry VIII. He was known for his integrity, and that got me thinking because we studied that at school. And what was a man for all seasons? You know, it's someone who can work under different circumstances and had certain traits that made them appealing. And you know, to be a top level leader, I tried to think about all the greats I'd met and the people who I met who didn't quite hit the mark. What was it they didn't have as well as what was it they needed to have? And you know, you needed to be a craftsman, good at what you did. A real leader in your field. You need to be a salesman because you have to sell your approach to life. You have to be a journeyman, which in modern terms has a quite a negative thing. It's seen as someone who just jumps from club to club, a bit like my coaching. But a journeyman, in its truest form, was a medieval term for someone who was learning their craft and travelled around to different areas before they became a craftsman. So I thought that's a great way of looking at coaching and leadership because it's a journey. And then one of the other things is a nobleman. And I don't mean noble as in a lord or a lady, but a noble person. And that's where all the great traits come in. Someone who's authentic, someone who can communicate, you know, someone who's patient, all those personality traits that good people have. And when I finished, it's probably the longest chapter in the book because I thought, God, you know, people think that being a great coach or leader is, as a coach, maybe it's just picking the team for the weekend's game, or leading, it's just sending out an email to tell everybody what to do. But there's so much more to leading people. And that takes up then the rest of the book as I talk about those traits in different ways.
There was a story in the book that I had never heard. It's about a bass player called Herbie Flowers. I'm wondering if you could tell us about it and why it connects with you so much.
Yeah, it's when I'm talking about there's three types of leaders in my mind, three types of coaches. There's the followers who follow the accepted way of doing things. You know, they get their coaching badges, or they get their certificate. ABC of how you approach things is what they do. They never veer from that. That's the norm. Then there's the adopters. There are people who look around and they think, well, if you take soccer in Europe, for instance, at the moment, Pep Guardiola is the star man. He's the, you know, he's streets ahead of everybody else. People will adopt whatever the best team or the best, what's he doing? Right? I'm going to do what he does, even though they might not have the ingredients or the tools to operate in the same way. But then there's the innovators who look at what they have and decide if they can use it in a better way. You know, what's the best approach for the players I have, if you take it in coaching terms. And it's not always been, when you think of the word innovative, it's always about doing something completely different, or that's the picture it often gives to people. But sometimes it's just tweaking things. It's not accepting them as they are. It's just making little differences, and that can be an innovative approach. David Bowie is my great musical hero. And I was aware that Herbie Flowers, it was a name I always used to see on the credits for lots of his songs in the early days. And he played bass on Bowie's famous hit, Space Oddity, which was a worldwide hit. Bowie then, in the early 70s, produced Lou Reed's famous album, Transformer, the album that sort of pushed Lou Reed into world stardom. They needed a bass player for the sessions. Bowie obviously called on Herbie Flowers, who he used on his hits. And Flowers came in and Reed gave him a bass line. And he said, do you mind if I just a little bit? He didn't. So it was still the same bass line. He simply, I think he took it 10 notes higher and just added some reverb and things like that to it. And from that came the haunting bass line of take a walk on the wild side, which even if you're not, if the title doesn't strike to you, as soon as you hear it, you know exactly what we're talking about. So all Herbie did was take something that was there and just tweak it a little bit. He didn't just discover something brand new and go out on a limb and do it. He took what was already there and adapted it for what he felt was the best outcome. And that always strikes a chord with me, because I think that's what the great coaches and leaders do. They don't necessarily change things and go outside the box completely, but they look at all options and what's available to me, and what can I do with it to get the best from it. And I think that's what the best coaches and leaders do.
One of the other ideas that resonated with me in the book, and I've actually tried this at the dinner table with my two daughters, is the doubt percentage.
Yeah.
Now, could you explain the exercise and how you use it?
Well, originally, I was a teacher, and it was this time of year again. We're coming up to Christmas now as we speak. And as a young teacher, we were winding lessons down before the Christmas holidays. And I said to the class, if you'd like to do something a little different today, put your hands up as high as you can. And you probably get the mental picture of 9 and 10 year olds all with a forest of hands in the sky. You know, I said, as high as you can. And they're all pushing their arms up. I said, now, if you can push them a little bit higher, we'll watch a movie. And somehow, you know, they found another couple of inches. And I thought, that's so typical of human life. People are with you and they'll give you what they can. But if it's something they really want, they'll find that little bit extra. And I found that in coaching, that, as I mentioned earlier, one of the great traits is being able to sell your approach, your vision. And I equate it to, in the book, to Germany, where the last time we spoke, I was in Germany. great group of young men who had no particular outstanding traits as from a physical point of view. They weren't particularly fast. They weren't particularly strong. But what they had was a good understanding of each of those things. And the combination together, I thought, we can do something a little bit different here, a bit along the Herbie Flowers line. We can maybe try and play an all-court game, which would use their strengths in a much better way than the one they were using previously. So I sold that vision to them. I told them why. And are we all in? Yes, we are. And they gave it everything, or so I thought. And we trained. But as the first couple of months went on, the leadership group spoke to me and said, look, we just don't seem to be able to get it. The mistakes are still there. We don't feel we can quite grasp what we're doing. It just so happened that the analyst had been doing the KPIs on the different factors I thought were key to making this work. And I showed him the numbers that had come over the training sessions, and there was a marked jump in data. Now, I know, particularly in a sport, numbers aren't always the answer, but in this particular case, it showed that they were running that little bit further, that the mistakes were getting less and less. And that suddenly energized them. They saw that there was a way forward, that things were getting better. And if anything, their energy levels at training then jumped again, because they could see that what they were doing was working, whereas they felt it wasn't working to begin with. But once I gave them some numbers that, I mean, I could have easily made them up for all they knew, but it took away their doubt that, yes, it is working. Yes, we are getting better. And they found those extra few meters in training, there was a little bit more energy than we had before. And I just think sometimes that we can all see the value in things, and we'll give it what we think is everything we've got. But when we see it working, we can often find a little bit more to take it on to the next level. I think I'm not a psychologist, but I'm just guessing here that there's a human trait that just holds a little bit back in reserve, just in case it's not. It's very rare you go out all out on everything to begin with, because it's not always a surefire thing. So that was my thoughts on the doubt percentage and why I felt it was important to mention it.
That's a great idea, Damien. And just so you know, in my dinner table, I used it to encourage the girls to try a little bit harder to clean up to get ice cream, and it worked well. In the book, there's a great quote. Yeah. It's in the middle. You say, the most powerful influences are great at planting dominant thoughts in people's minds and then coming back and watering them as you would a seedling. Now, it's a wonderful, wonderful sort of metaphor. And I'm wondering, was there a person or an event that helped you learn this?
My biggest influence on my career was a guy called Graham Murray, an Australian who had a huge impact on me. And he often would put little things in conversations that I saw on great, it didn't make a huge impact to begin with, but over time I saw how it made a difference. The first thing he said to the players and staff when he got them together was, from now on, please and thank you will travel everywhere with us. And great. Yeah, we all just nodded, didn't see it as anything. But it was the seedling that changed a talented group of individuals into a team, because everybody's and he policed it quite hard. Everybody had to acknowledge things that people did for each other, and it brought us together in a way I hadn't expected, and it stuck with me ever since. As that, just the simple act of saying please and thank you all the time, wherever we went, whether we were together or whether we were out having team meals or traveling to games. But it brought a respect into the whole approach of the team. And he built on that and small things like that throughout his tenure and built one of the best cultures I've ever been part of.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Damien, in the book, you talk about the authenticity paradox. I hadn't heard this term, but it was a term coined by Professor Herminia Ibraha, if I've got that correct. And the paradox is when you find yourself facing a choice between being yourself or doing what it takes to be effective. Now, this is something we all face every day, if not frequently, in our lives. But is there a moment, a particular moment, when you've been faced with this paradox, and what did you learn through looking into it?
Well, it was probably the chapter that's closest to my heart, because it either acted as a handbrake or was a strength for me to begin with. I'm a very shy, or I was a very shy, insecure person as a child, and I didn't like to push myself forward. I thought the authentic me was a reserved, introverted, quiet person. But obviously, to work in sport, and particularly in a leadership role, that's not going to get you very far. So that was always at the back of mind, that I needed to change that approach. But also, I also then felt that my authentic coaching self was someone who had substance rather than style. It wasn't about the showmanship. It wasn't about putting it that people would see me for who I was, which was a good coach who could make a difference and make things happen. As time went on, I saw that other people were maybe with no more knowledge and skill than me, were getting the roles that I would have loved to have had. And was it because they were pushing themselves more and putting themselves out there, being more of a seal of them and what they do? And I was left with that choice. Do I sit back and hope that people recognize me for being a good coach, which they were, because I was always in work and people liked to have me because I was good to have and good help to be part of the team. But I didn't just want to be part of the team. I wanted to be leading the team, as time went on. So I had to make that choice between being something I thought I wasn't, which was a more open, brash, not brash, that's probably the wrong term, a more forceful type of coach. And the thing that changed me again was understanding that I was a leader in my field, if that's not blowing my own trumpet too much, that my coach would take me to another level. I had to be prepared to go out there and prove it to people openly. And the more I understood about my subject, the more confident I became. And confidence, I think, is something that often help you. The thing that changed was my confidence. And I had a couple of close friends who gave me opportunities based on what they said. Look, you're the best at what you do. We need this. And I suddenly thought, well, if people are recognizing me for that, then, I'm confident to get myself out there and be the leader I feel I should be. And that got me thinking about what is authentic. Is it the historical me, or can you develop into something that you need to be to fulfill your life and your potential? I hope I've explained that better than it sounded, but it's something I found was key to me making the next step to lead in different countries. if you take yourself over to Samoa in the South Pacific from Western Europe, you need to have confidence in yourself to lead and to put across the things that you think are important for the team to be successful. If I wasn't prepared to do that, then I would fail miserably. And yet I felt I had the wherewithal to do it. I just needed to be less of an introvert. And I don't mean it to become completely the opposite, but I needed to have more confidence in myself. And the authentic me now, I think, is more confident when it comes to the sporting side of my life.
Authenticity, or the word authentic, was actually the Merriam-Webster word of the year for 2023. So I think you've hit onto a theme that's very prevalent in society at the minute.
Yeah.
Damien, there was another idea in the book that connected with me, and it was this idea of a mental highlights reel. And I'm wondering if you could explain to us how you've used this in your coaching.
This was a lifesaver for me, as it turned out. And I met the guy who I talk about in the book, Professor John Neal, only last week. We spoke on the phone for the first time for a while. It's how you deal with, not crisis in confidence, but those down moments when things don't seem to be going too well. How do you, and I suppose you look at it as resilience. It's how you deal with those dips in fortune. I just lost my job with England back in 2006. I was part of the National Academy, and I write in the book about how I had an opportunity to go to Bath and the rug was pulled from under my feet in the most bizarre. And I was probably as low as I've ever been. And you think, well, I've given up so much. I've sacrificed things with the family, and they've supported me. And we've got to this point now where there looks to be no way forward in sport. Maybe, you know, it's time to go back to teaching or look at something else outside of sport. Professor John Neal invited me to Ashridge Business College in the south of England, which is one of the top three business colleges in the world. They brought leaders in from everywhere with the big multinational companies to look at leadership and to be coached and mentored on different things. Professor John Neal was there doing work with some of the big multinationals. And one of his courses was on coaching, and he would invite six well-known sports people to come in and work in different groups with his candidates on different ideas. Now, given that they were from all around the world, they might not recognize the names and know of their background instantly. So the course always began where each of us stood up and introduced ourselves and gave a brief resume of what we'd done. It saved me in the fact that I had to stand up and say, I'm Damien McGrath, and you know, I've done this, 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 and this. And I thought, well, that's something I'd forgotten about. You know, every time I stood up and spoke about where I'd worked and what I'd be part of, it gave me a boost and a push towards not throwing everything away, because it just it was a highlights of what I'd achieved before, and that was on my mind all the time. I thought, I can't, you know, I've done this. I can't just give it away. I've got more to offer. So that was my mental highlights reel, and I've used it ever since. When those, and my wife always laughs. She says, you've had more sacks than Santa Claus. You know, when things don't go well and you know your tenure comes to an end and you're looking to move on, it can, as much as most of the time I always think I've been badly done to, you can feel down and think, well, is it worth it? You know, all this hassle over you know, a job. But then you think that mental highlights reel is there, and you think about, well, this is what I've achieved in the past. You know, I can do it. I know I've got more to give. And so that was my thoughts on the mental highlight reel. It's my resilience to the downturns in life.
So Damien, in the book, you outline the four steps that you need to go through as a coach in order to create a supportive and successful program. I'm not asking you to give away all the secrets in the book in this interview, but if you could tell us just high level what those steps are, it'd be great.
The first thing you have to do is paint a picture. You know, your why. You know, you get the imagination going. This is what I could achieve together. This is where we could be. This is what we could do. So it's why, you know, why we're going to do this. These are the great things that fire their imagination. Then there's illustration. Then you have to tell them how we're going to do it. You know, I always use fundamental skills is my USP. If we work on the basics, these are the things that we could achieve. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is where it will take us. So, you know, those are the two key things. It's the craftsman side of it. These are the things that me as the coach, I'm going to introduce. The salesman side is then selling the way forward. And then we've got participation, them to be part of it. You need them, as I said about Germany with the doubt percentage. If they get that, then they'll help push it forward. So their participation in everything is important. If they grasp it, they'll take it and run with it, and we can really, you know, take it to its limits. The last part is turning up every day and making it happen. And that's the bit I think that everybody misses sometimes. I mentioned Pep Guardiola before, if we use soccer as the thing, Jurgen Klopp. The thing that makes them so good is it's not that they have such a great approach to coaching life, but they turn up every day and push it forward and make sure that we turn up every day and we run with it, self-police it, and then that becomes the culture, that the coach isn't just the driver. You introduce it. To begin with, you outline the way forward. You're the driver, but you almost slip into the back seat then as time goes on, and that last part is the key bit, because once it's in there, if you've done your job properly, they will take it and run with it, and you can just give advice from the back seat, as it were, and make sure we're still on the right track.
So, Damien, towards the end of the book, there's this great paragraph where you say all the best coaches have a dramatic need. They strive to overcome the challenges they meet, to get something and go somewhere. They seek the information and knowledge to forge their own path. Just love that last little part of that paragraph where you talk about their own path. And I'm wondering, when you talk to younger people today about that path ahead, what do you tell them?
I saw an interview with James Cameron, the famous movie director, and he talked about that, you know, actors in movies and often directors in their own way need dramatic need to go forward. They need to overcome obstacles. They need to find information. They need to succeed over whatever's in their way. And that resonated with me, because I think as a coach, you know, to be successful, you have that need. You have to overcome obstacles, whether it's losing your job or whether it's not being successful as a team. And the thing is that as that dramatic need becomes obvious to you, you have to look at how you move forward, because it's about a straight line. Sometimes you have to step aside. More often than not, you may have to step back, you know, if things don't go well. And that forging your path is always going to have obstacles. And if you give in at the first sign of trouble, then you will never be successful. The way forward isn't always in your own hands either. You have mentors, you have friends who can just discuss things with. Take advice from people who can help you. That was what I was trying to get across without saying it, that your path forward is never on your own shoulders. It's often events can happen that you've never foreseen, and you have to not just be aware that they may come, but also be aware that you may just have to pull off to the side or, you know, go back up and go around another route. You've got to forge your own path, but it's not always the obvious one. I just think that as coaches and leaders, everybody, and in day-to-day business and life, that seems to me to be an obvious thing, that if you crumble at the first sign of a problem, then you may as well not start on the journey to begin with.
It's a great place for us to finish, Damien. Thanks so much for catching up again. I will put all the links to the book in the show notes. It's called Can You Be Fluent in Success? I highly recommend it. Very easy to read. I read it in just a couple of sittings. And it's out now on Amazon and where all good books are sold.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Damien.
Hi, everyone. You have been listening to the great coach, Damien McGrath, talk about his new book. I hope you got a lot out of Damien's style, his great stories, and found a few ideas that you can bring back to your own dinner table, locker room, or work table for discussion. And just before we go, if you have any feedback, then please let us know. Just like Troy Engel, who after listening to our interview with Cody Royal, kept it short and sweet by saying, "Great episode." Thanks, Troy. We love the interaction with the people around the world who listen. And so if you have any feedback or comments, please let us know. And if they're positive ones, then please let somebody else know too. All the details on how to connect with us are in the show notes or on our website, thegreatcoachespodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.